side has picked up incredibly, and contrary to popular belief, it is more the small-scale farmer who has always produced a lot of the staple requirement, like the maize. And they continue doing so, but obviously there are limitations in terms of finances, you know. How do you get inputs? Our economy is largely dollarized right now, and very few communal farmers have access to those inputs. And I think a program that would ensure that those small farmers, in their numbers, get as much assistance in ensuring that they have inputs, that would actually restore that, at least the self-sufficiency in food. And the bigger farms, a lot of them are successful, but not in the basic requirements of food, because most of the farmers have gone into commercial agriculture. It's been a bumper crop for tobacco, for instance, this year. And it's a good thing in a lot of ways. But, I mean, you do need to have the food, because for me it doesn't really make sense to get a lot of foreign currency from selling tobacco and then taking the same money to go and import maize from next door. There needs to be some kind of balance where you are able to have enough production of your staple food requirements, obviously together with the commercial, you know, agriculture like tobacco, etc. We don't eat tobacco, we eat maize. And there needs to be that balance, but obviously people are more interested in the cash. If you've got the cash, you can afford to import your own food or buy expensive food that the ordinary person hasn't the money to buy. You've talked about tourism. It's picking up. Some of you will know that there is going to be a big tourism endeavor this year, where both Zimbabwe and Zambia will be hosting. We are hoping that that will open the world back into believing that Zimbabwe is a place to go to as a tourist. We have stiff competition from Zambia, who market the Victoria Falls, obviously, to benefit themselves. And because of the bad perception about Zimbabwe, a lot more tourists have been going to the Zimbabwean side, to the Zambian side, more than to the Zimbabwean side. My view is that it helps the ordinary Zimbabwean for tourists to come to Zimbabwe. And also it helps for people to come to Zimbabwe anyway, because when you hear about what's going on in Zimbabwe, it will resonate more, you know, with you if you've been there, and you'll be thinking, how can anybody be doing this in such a beautiful country? So my view is that tourism has to pick up, and it can only pick up if people do come back and see the country, because it is very, very safe for tourists. In fact, as I say in the documentary, Zimbabwe is this incredible place where there's a veneer of normalcy, where even a lot of people in the suburbs don't even know what's going on, and that's why it is that much more difficult to deal with the problems that are there, because if you just walk in the street, you don't see the problem. It's only when you get involved in certain specialized areas that you see that this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. If I wasn't a lawyer and I wasn't doing the kind of work that I do, and I was just a big corporate lawyer doing my agreement in my office, I probably would be saying, oh, this is not happening, because I wouldn't be aware of it. So going forward, I do think that the tourism will pick up, and that, you know, it can only pick up if we make the environment, you know, such that people will come without thinking, oh my God, is this a safe place to go to?